As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, once again, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks. It's time for a show me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? Welcome to our Monday, Moon Day, I guess you could say, November the 9th, 11-9-11-9-11-2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news, certainly that, hard facts and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. But as I like to say, hope might make a dandy breakfast, but it makes a lousy supper. We're going to apply a little bit of action in all of this. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call in at 512-904-8014 to join us live on air or take Oracle with you on your mobile device. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. And, of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office Box 96, out of the small town America, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, Mo, 65647. A big shout out again this morning to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our listener calling number remains throughout the broadcast at 866-841-1065. And, of course, your calls are welcome. Gold rockets above $1,110 and sets a new record high. We're going to talk about that. The euro trades at U.S. dollars, $1.50. We'll talk about that. Public opinion, railroad tycoons, budgets, and community. Of course, we'll talk about much, much more today. Anyway, let's go into those market reports for Monday morning, Monday, November the 9th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We find gold trading above that $1,100 mark at $1,106.90, up $10 in early morning trading. Silver goes up 28 cents as well, trades at $17.67 an ounce. Platinum up 14 bucks at $1,357 an ounce. Palladium up a buck as well at $330 an ounce. If you wanted good news, you just got it. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,102.30 for a low, $1,112.10 for a high. At $1,106.90, your gold is up $372.20 an ounce year to year for a 50.72% return on your investment. The boys in London set the gold fix this morning at $1,108.50. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 17 points on Friday, closing out at 10,023. The NASDAQ was up 7 at 21.12. The S&P up 3 at 1,069. The crude oil market this morning finds crude oil trading $1.07 up, $78.50 for a 42-gallon barrel of light sweet crude, and the USDX heads for Venezuela. Trades down 68 basis points at 75.10. Stay right there. We'll be back in three.
Heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic Spark Plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic Spark Plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic Plugs. Now get a free Sonic Spark Plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic Spark Plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-Panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday morning, November the 9th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. And yeah, it was about 7:55 or thereabouts my time. No, that'd be 6:55 my time when I flipped on the computer screen and, by golly, gold was trading right around $1,112 an ounce. Certainly was happy day, happy day. I don't know, I just kind of get exuberant. That's my type of irrational exuberant. Poured myself a cup of coffee, smoked a long cigarette, and thought, ah, what a rarefied morning this is indeed. Let's go ahead and finish out that market report again. Gold trading at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time at $1,106.90 an ounce, up 10 bucks. Silver up 28 cents at $17.67 an ounce. And platinum, $13.57, up $14. Palladium trades for an ounce of palladium at $330, up a buck. Anyway, palladium, what's with palladium anyway? Palladium's always down there kicking around in the dirt, feeling awful. Anyway, the foreign exchange rates this morning, we find the Canadian dollar up 140 basis points. You see, this U.S. dollar index has a lot to do with that, trading down 0.68. Points this morning, or percentage points, they call them basis points actually, down 0.68, 68 basis points. trading's at $75.10. It's not really in Venezuela, but it does have its eyes on Tierra del Fuego. Anywho, the Canadian dollar, 94 cents. The Mexican peso, ups 28 basis points in early trading, trades at 8 cents U.S. The euro's the big news, though. It's the big new news. Up 94 basis points and now trades at $1.50 U.S. Yes, that's right. If you're going to exchange your U.S. dollars for euros, you're going to have to pay a lot more this morning. But it's 0.666 times the dollar is $1.50. So you're 0.666. There you go. That's your multiplier. The British pound moves up 98 basis points. $1.68 U.S. The Swiss franc trades right on top of the U.S. dollar here at 99 cents U.S. 99 cents U.S. Tear a little corner off there, get rid of the owl, and you'd have a U.S. dollar. Swiss francs at 99 cents U.S. The bond market. The two-year bond this morning runs 0.85%. We're going to have a lot of action in the bond market this week. The 10-year at 3.49, the 30-year at 4.39, and those numbers just feel fine to the Chinese and the Japanese as they eyeball our debt. The mortgage markets, I've told you before, we're on the upward cycle. Withdrawing credit in the mortgage market, it's going to be more expensive to get mortgages, it looks like, maybe for a while. The 15-year mortgage this morning moves up month to month from 4.59% a month ago to 4.70%, heading for 5 in the 15 years. The 30-year mortgage is above 5. It was 5.11 one month ago. This morning, 5.13. So I think we may have found that bottom about 2 weeks ago. As I mentioned, the Fed target rate, of course, remains at 0.25%. How long that's going to stay is going to be anybody's guess. The G20 thinks it might go up. Others do as well. Let's go into the market reports here for this morning. This off of Bloomberg, just a couple of articles. Then I've got just a stack of material here. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. But stocks, commodities rally on the G20 stimulus. Of course, most of you probably are aware there was a G20 meeting on the 7th. But the G20 meeting here, it says this off Bloomberg, stocks and commodities rallied. And the dollar plunged, get all those frogs out of my throat. Stocks and commodities rallied, and the dollar plunged, those words, that plunge protection team, where are they this morning? After the group of 20 nations, that's the G20, agreed to maintain measures to boost economic growth and remain silent on the U.S. currency's weakness. Psst, be quiet. The dollar's tanking. Gold advanced to a record high. The MSCI World Index of Equities in 23 developed countries increased 0.9% at 12.05 p.m. in London, and futures on the Standard & Poor's Index, also very poor Standard & Poor, climbed 0.9%. Russia's MySex Index, MySex, added 3.7%. Gold gained as much as 1.3% to $1,109.50 an ounce, and crude oil jumped 2%. The dollar weakened against all 16 major currencies tracked by Bloomberg. Policymakers from the U.S., the U.K., and Japan, and 17 nations that would make the G20, said on November the 7th that it's too early to withdraw spending intended to revive growth. I'm just going to keep throwing those Federal Reserve created pieces of paper into the system. European Central Bank President Jean-Claude Trichet said before the G20 meeting that, quote, excessive volatility, close quote, in currency markets is damaging and a strong dollar is important for global economic stability, quote. Markets don't need to be worried about that these governments and central banks are suddenly going to take away all the stimulus measures, close quote. Stuart Bennett, a senior currency strategist at Kalyan in London, said in an interview on Bloomberg Television, apparently, quote, risk appetite should remain supported into the end of the year. Risk appetite. How's your appetite for risk? this morning. I certainly hope that if you have any interest or inclination whatsoever or the ability to do so, that you have quietly moved your dollar assets into gold and silver. I would really hate for you to be sitting there this morning going, oh man, gold is up $372 an ounce in just 1 year, a 50.72% return on investment, and I don't own any gold. Well, next year, when I report that it's $2,106 and it's up $1,000 year on year, I hope you'll have better sentiments. Maybe you will have gotten into that marketplace. Anyway, going back to this article, again, equities extended gains after Germany's economy minister said industrial output rose 2.7% in September, beating the median estimate of 1% in a Bloomberg survey of 37 economists. Germany still seems to have some industry. European and Asian stocks, well, Europe's Dow Jones Stoxx 600 index rallied 1.6% as all 19 industry groups advanced. Europe's biggest insurer, Allianz SE, added 5.7% in Frankfurt am Main, no doubt, after seeing third quarter profit more than doubled to 1.32 billion euros or $2 billion, beating the analyst estimates. Let's drop down a little bit further. In the emerging markets, we always talk about the developing nations. Developing nation stocks headed for the biggest four-day gain in 2 months, as the MSCI Emerging Market Index climbed 1.7%. Yes, those developing countries are doing pretty good at the expense of the developed countries. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com. Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
Yes, the gold market jumped into the $1,110 range, actually about the $1,105 range in Hong Kong early on this morning, and it's been trading horizontally at that in that price range between $1,105 and $1,110 so far this morning. Back to the news here, we find that the dollar weakened to $1.50. Against the euro, again, reading from a Bloomberg article here, for the first time since October the 26th, depreciating to 1.5011. The dollar index, we've talked about that before, the ICE, the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., which tracks the U.S. currency against six trading partners. This is that little basket of currencies, of course. That's the one that Timmy watches. I watch the Canadian dollar, the Mexican peso. Of course, that's our North American Security and Prosperity Partnership. The euro, we can't help that. The British pound, you might as well know what God is doing this morning. And the Swiss franc, that's where they stash all of their gold. Anyhow, so you've got the Bank for International Settlements in Switzerland. You've got the City of London, the City. British pounds over there. You've got the euros. This is your old Jean-Claude de Truchet. And then, of course, we've got Calderon and the Canadian dollar. Anyway, that's my little basket of currencies. The dollar index, again, which tracks the U.S. currency against six trading partners, slid to 74.977, the lowest level in more than 2 weeks. Treasuries, going to be a big week in treasuries this week. Lots of stuff on the economic calendar for this week. We could see some broad fluctuations in the market. But anyway, treasuries fell as the U.S. prepared to sell a record of $81 billion 3-year, 10-year, and 30-year debt. Of course, we give you the 2-year, the 10-year, and the 30-year every morning. This morning, the 2-year bond is at 0.85%, the 10 at 3.49%, and the 30 at 4.39%. But again, the U.S. is preparing to sell a record $81 billion of 3, 10, and 30-year debt this week. The yield on the 10-year note rose 2 basis points to 3.51%, according to B.G. Cantor, market data, Cantor, Jewish Cantor, you know, guys, the guy that swings his, I don't know, whatever they do. I've never been in a synagogue, so I couldn't tell you. The week's sales begin today with $40 billion of 3-year notes. That's your debt, folks. We're establishing a new owner. You know, that's the way it goes. They become the creditors when they buy our debt. The Treasury is scheduled, to sell $25 billion of 10-year debt tomorrow and $16 billion of 30-year bonds on November the 12th. Created out of thin air and sold into existence at interest, and we become the debtors. Healthcare, the U.S. House on November the 7th approved healthcare legislation that would cost more than $1 trillion over 10 years. Of course, it's just the House. Still needs to go to the Senate. There's a lot of stuff out there on the web saying it's going to die in the Senate. Will it? I probably. But they'll parcel it out, piece it up, and implement it incrementally, indicating that government will have to increase its debt sales to pay for it. The government and Federal Reserve also lent, spent, or guaranteed. Sounds like the Bank of Reconstruction on that one, Lend-Lease, right? Lent, spent, or guaranteed $11.6 trillion. All right? The government and the Federal Reserve have lent, spent, or guaranteed $11.6 trillion, that's T, to to revive the world's largest economy after the collapse of subprime mortgages froze credit markets in August of 2007, triggering almost $1.7 trillion of write-downs and credit losses at the world's largest financial institutions. While countries from Germany and France to Hong Kong have exited recessions, a Labor Department on November the 6th showed that the U.S. unemployment rate climbed to a 26-year high of 10.2% last month. Gold, for immediate delivery, headed for a ninth consecutive annual increase. The longest stretch, or we could say the longest bull market, since at least 1948. Copper, for delivery in 3 months, advanced 1.7% to $6,597 a metric ton, folks. You better turn your alarm system on before you leave the house. They'll be in the back door looking for electric wiring and copper plumbing and all of your old pennies hidden in jars. Again, copper for delivery in 3 months advanced 1.7% to $6,597 a metric ton, leading the gains in industrial metals. Oil for December delivery rose as high as $78.95 a barrel. That's a 42-gallon barrel. You do the math in New York. Wheat, corn, and soybeans advanced in Chicago a day before the U.S. Department of Agriculture is scheduled to release its latest crop forecasts. The cost of protecting European high-market, high-yield corporate bonds from default fell to the lowest level in more than a week. Well, that's that kind of financial stuff that economists make their living on. This one brings us into a little bit of a discussion I want to have briefly. Of course, you know, I've been reading and have now just finished this Principles of Economics. It's like we've been doing an Economics 101 here, at least I have, been sharing a little bit with you as we go through the textbook, 593 pages, finished it up late last night. But just in case you want to go out and buff up your own understanding of these things, I would strongly recommend that you go through flea markets with a fine-tooth comb and stop at garage sales and so on and so forth. You don't have to have a degree from college and become a professor to understand some of this stuff at the level that some that are in the business understand it. You just have to get their textbooks and sit down and read them. Not that difficult to do. Certainly doesn't take a full quarter or a semester and a few thousand dollars to come up to speed on the basics or the principles of economics. Of course, you don't have to limit yourself to an Economics 101. Just start gathering textbooks, and you can learn everything you wanted to know about economics or psychology or sociology or philosophy or mathematics simply by buying the textbooks yourself and sitting down and reading them. Of course, I haven't gone through and worked out all of the problems. This is mostly just an essay questions type of thing. It could be fill in the blank, but I was rather profoundly impacted by the caliber of questions that were asked in this textbook. Again, they're not teaching to a test. They actually expect you to learn the things that they've shared, and then they ask you to discuss in essay form the things that you've learned and put it in your own words. Pretty interesting little textbook, to say the least, for it. We're going to come back to it in a moment. But this is another article off of Bloomberg this morning. This will be the last news article. I'm not going to read all of it. But this is Berkshire says credit crisis is abated as the profit jumps. By Andrew Fry, November the 9th, New News, Bloomberg. Berkshire Hathaway, Inc. said, quote, the credit crisis has abated, bolstering the firm's earnings potential after Chief Executive Officer Warren Buffett agreed to pay $26 billion and take on debt to fund his biggest takeover. What's that biggest takeover? It's dropped down a little in the article. Don't want to go into all of it. The acquisition of Burlington, the biggest U.S. railroad, comes after 12 months in which declining sales at Berkshire's retailing, manufacturing, and jet leasing units forced the firm to cut jobs and close plants. Back in just 3 minutes. Stay with us.
always been one of the fellows with the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again, reviewing and looking at this article from the Bloomberg website. Berkshire says credit crisis abated as profits jump. Update number one, Andrew Fry. New news, November the 9th, dropping down into the article here. It says again, the acquisition of Burlington, the biggest U.S. railroad, comes after 12 months in which declining sales at Berkshire's retailing, manufacturing, and jet leasing units forced the firm to cut jobs and close plants. The takeover will bring $10 billion of assumed debt and add about 40,000 employees to a Berkshire workforce that already totals more than 200,000. More than 200,000. We talked about the four elements or four units of production. It goes back to Adam Smith and the days of the physiocrats. The idea of land, which of course is rent, land, labor, which is, of course, the workforce, these 200,000 employees, land, labor, and capital, of course, that's interest earnings, and the enterpriser. And here we find our captain of finance and industry, Warren Buffett. Well, see, he's the enterpriser. He's the entrepreneur. He's the bourgeoisie. He's the focal point of the Workers of the World Unite. Very important to understand that. When we talk about the abolition of the middle class, we're not talking about the workers. No, the slave class needs to continue on. But the idea of destroying out of existence the entrepreneurs, even such as Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, wiping them out, of course, destroys the financial base of the country and all of those jobs goes away. But the communists never think through those kinds of difficult little puzzle questions. And so they just go around sawing themselves off the ankles. But anyway, dropping down a little further here, Buffett, the second richest American, positioned Berkshire to weather the contraction in the U.S. economy by stockpiling $44 billion in cash. Starting in 2008, when corporate borrowing costs surged, he drew on that hoard to finance Goldman Sachs Group, Inc., General Electric Company, Swiss Reinsurance Company, and the Mars, Inc. takeover of chewing gum maker W.M. William Wrigley Jr. and Company. Ah, $44 billion. He drew on that hoard to finance Goldman Sachs Group, Inc., General Electric, Swiss Reinsurance Company, and Mars takeover of Wrigley's chewing gum. My, oh my. Well, then it continues on. But what is this? Second richest man in America. The acquisition of Burlington Northern Railroad. The biggest U.S. railroad. What is all this about? Well, as I'm studying through this economics text, I came across this section in Labor Management Issues, the development of labor unions. I'll just give you a little bit of it. It says here in the textbook, right out of the Principles of Economics, 1953, D.C. Heath and Company, we've observed that the first union was that of the Schumachers, the Shoemakers. There was also another name for them, the Cordwainers. Cordwainers. The Cordwainers, or the Shoemakers of Philadelphia, formed the first union in 1792. So we have observed that the first union was that of the Cordwainers, or the Schumachers of Philadelphia in 1792. The text continues, up to the time of the Civil War, many other unions were formed. The Printers Union, called the Typographical Society, was formed in 1794. The Printers Union later became the first union organized on a national basis. Now, this is all before Frederick and Engels, you know, Marx. The earliest controversy in which the unions engaged tended to be towards the betterment of living conditions of the oppressed. Of course, that goes back to the New Harmony, New Freedom, New Lanark, Robert Owen, the Owenites, and all of that. The betterment of the living conditions of the oppressed. Hours of work and low wages were occasional issues. The problems of child labor received considerable attention. The issues of free schools and imprisonment for debt. Free education in America owes much to the labor unions. The question of the right to vote was raised by unions. The expansion of suffrage. The text continues and it says, it is thus evident that at least up to the time of the Civil War, the unions gave their attention to the problems of social reform. Socialists. As well as to the problems of hours and wages. Of course, that's going to bring in Jeremy Bentham, James Mill, and all the rest of the philosophical radicals. After the Civil War, possibly after the 1850s, that would bring us right up to the time Karl Mordecai Marx was writing and the time that Auguste Comte was writing his System of Positivism, the general tenor of labor controversy shifted from social welfare, salus populi, to questions of actual monetary gain to the workers. We may note that at this time, some of the characteristics of the change trend occurred. First, skilled tradesmen made definite efforts to concentrate on getting higher pay, avoiding social and political reform objectives. Of course, the skilled tradesmen were soon to be replaced by machines. Second, Collective agreements between employers and workers setting forth specific wages and hours began to be made. It may be considered that the real beginning of the modern union contract lay in this Civil War period. Oh, yeah. Third, although the typographical society became a national union, the tendency still remained, at least until the rise of the Knights of Labor. You know, Knights of Malta, Knights of Labor, it's all just alphabetic, right? For union organization to be upon a local basis, small local unions were typical. And fourth, a real decline in hours and rise in wages began to occur. In 1800, working hours were from dawn to dark, quote, unquote. Well, what time do we get started, boss? At dawn. When can we go home? After dark. Oh, baby. In 1860, the average length of the working day was about 11 hours. By 1890, it had been reduced to 9 or 10. Wages were higher than wages in England, and generally, labor was scarce. Remember, we were still just a new country starting here. Short on labor. We got a lot of immigration to remedy that. It is to be noted that the decline in hours and the rise in wages were only to a degree accompanied by the increase in unionization. Undoubtedly, the industrialization of America that occurred after the Civil War was in large part responsible for the higher standard of living of the workers. So much to know. Here's an article, actually another subsection in this text, on the Knights of Labor. What's this got to do with railroads? We'll be there in a moment. In 1869, a union called the Knights of Labor was organized. It was started among the tailors of Philadelphia, already unionized, who had lost faith in their craft unions and decided to form unions that would benefit the whole laboring class. Originally, the Knights of Labor was a secret organization. Oh, yeah. Secret societies. Mysteries of Labor was a secret organization which had elaborate ritual. The Knights of Labor. Secrecy was adopted in the beginning because the members feared retaliation from employers. You see, if you root into these secret societies deeply enough, you'll always find that they have a reason for their secrecy. But this secrecy led to misunderstandings about their aims and methods in the public mind. They were attacked repeatedly by the pulpit and by the press. In 1881, the Knights of Labor realized that secrecy was doing the organization harm, and I might add, so like the Council on Foreign Relations, they, the Knights of Labor, decided to abandon ritual and come out into the open. The Knights of Labor was the first significant labor organization in America to admit both unskilled and semi-skilled workers, regardless of trade. Later, it opened its doors to businessmen, professionals, farmers, and to anyone working for wages. This is curious. It barred only lawyers, gamblers, bankers, and saloon keepers. Even employers were welcome to join. How do you like that? Barred only the lawyers, the gamblers, the bankers, and the saloon keepers. I wonder if we could get that rule passed for Congress. What a breath of fresh air that would be. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is amazon.oraclebroadcasting.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowda. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So we find that the Knights of Labor was primarily an organization of and for the unskilled workers. And listen to this. It endeavored to unite all workers, regardless of creed, color, or skill, into one big union. I like the use of the word unite in that sentence. Workers of the world, unite. We've shared with you the lessons, the proletarian lessons before on this broadcast and have read from Engels and Marx, the Communist Manifesto, on several occasions. But anyway, we need to understand what's going on here in the time period that we're looking at. The decade that ended in 1890 produced one of the most significant episodes in the history of labor. It was a period of great industrial expansion, and remember that word industrial. That word was coined by Claude Henri Duverbroy Saint-Simon, the mentor and original writer that Auguste Comte worked for. They had a great dispute over the things that were written. Auguste Comte was a lot more of a brain and a systematician than was Saint-Simon. So they had a falling out, and Saint-Simon stayed with his Saint-Simonians, and the positivists followed Auguste Comte. Anywho, back to the article here. It was a period of great industrial expansion, Claude Henri Duverbroy Saint-Simon coined the term industrial, in which the trust appeared. The trust. We've talked about these holding companies before. When we went through the corporations, you've got your preferred stockholders, you've got your common stockholders, you've got your bondholders, but the corporations are organized in various ways where actually a holding company can control a corporation by gaining just a minor share of the stock of the corporation. So although you might read that Eisner or somebody has 52% of Disney stock, needn't necessarily imply that he controls it. He's just the guy in the front. Anyway, during this same year, in 1885, the country witnessed a virtual epidemic of boycotts. So we're introducing the term the trust. and boycotts. During the same year, the Knights of Labor waged a successful strike against the Gould Railway interests. As I'm reading that, my memory banks just start firing. Bing, 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 bing. I know who Jay Gould is, do you? Again, during the same year, the Knights of Labor waged a successful strike against the Gould Railway interests. The result was significant in that the public witnessed labor dealing on an equal footing with Jay Gould, G-O-U-L-D, a man who was regarded as the most powerful capitalist in America. Did you know that? Jay Gould, a man who was regarded as the most powerful capitalist in America. This morning we find Warren Buffett, the second richest man in America, picking up interest in Burlington Northern Railroad. Let's find out a little bit more about Gould. Anxious to avert another strike, Gould met with the executive board of the Knights of Labor to settle the grievances of the workers. He agreed to the demands of the union and assured the spokesman that he believed in labor organization and in arbitration of difficulties. And it continues. And then it goes on and tells you about the downfall of the Knights of Labor. But, of course, that was followed by the American Federation of Labor, the CIO, the AFL, the CIO, that was John Lewis, and Gompers was the founder of the American Federation of Labor, originally just a cigar maker. John Lewis of the United Mine Workers. As I was reading through this whole section, I thought, you know, if we really wanted to nip the cap and trade thing in the bud, if there was some possible way that we could get the AFL-CIO and the Teamsters, and the Boilermakers and the others all to come out, and this time of year, you know, twice a year, the unions negotiate their contracts. Then I'd have to check that to make sure that's still consistent with today. But it used to be something like April and May. They would finish negotiation for the next 6 months, and then in October, November, they would negotiate for the second 6 months. And if they're still doing 6 months renewable contracts, it is very possible that the mine workers, the AFL, the CIO, together, American Labor, could actually threaten a strike if Barry the Usurper attends the Copenhagen Treaty. After all, the workers will be in the coal industry will be severely impacted by any reduction in the use of coal for the production of electricity, and of course the steel industry would want to come into this as well, because the steel industry is dependent upon coal for making steel. Of course, you'd want to get the Boilermakers and all those guys involved, the Teamsters involved in all of that, and the petroleum refineries involved in all of that. I think that the unions could probably block climate change in its tracks. And especially if you can think about how important something like that would be, because here you would have all of these Democrats, union people, oftentimes vote Democrat, coming out against the Democratic administration on a bill that does them great harm and increases their costs. It'd be an interesting battle, wouldn't it? To see a across-the-board walkout and strike until such time as they received assurances from Barry the Usurper that he wouldn't touch the climate trade, the cap and trade, H.R. 2454, the Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009, and its Senate versions. Well, back to the railroads. Interesting story. Who is this guy, Jay Gould? Well, there's several, really. A couple of Goulds. The one that's being discussed at this time is Jay Gould, an American financier and Elgin Ralston Lovell Gould. One of them is listed as an American financier. Another is listed as an American economist, but the one that is foremost in our discussion is George J. Gould. George J. Gould, who was an American capitalist. Now, as far as I can see here, J. Gould was the father of George J. Gould. And George J. Gould, looking at the birthplaces and the birth times here, may be related, might even be brothers or cousins. But there's lots of Goulds listed in the encyclopedias, an Augustus Addison, a Benjamin Apthorpe, an Elgin Ralston, George Jay, Hannah Flagg, Helen Miller, Jay Gould. A little bit about these two. John Gould, he's an English ornithologist, and Thomas Ridgway Gould, American sculptor. Let's start with Jay Gould, American financier born in Roxbury, New York, on the 27th of May, 1836, and he died in New York on the 2nd of December of 1892. He was brought up to labor on his father's farm. It's an interesting way of saying it, isn't it? Talk about homeschoolers, the farmers out there all across America, the real backbone of this country. Well, not anymore. But brought up to labor on his father's farm and was for a short time a student at Hobart College. Here, he learned surveying. Interesting, land surveying. He learned a little bit about math in that study. He also learned about the subdivisions of lands. All of that would be useful for someone that would go on and get involved in railways. After making surveys of Ulster, Albany, and Delaware counties, county surveyor, he published A History of Delaware County, so he was bright enough to write as well, in 1856, and in this same year engaged in the lumber and tanning business in western New York. So now we've got somebody who really is starting to understand the idea of the four principal units of production, land, labor, capital, and enterpriser, himself being an enterpriser, an entrepreneur. Later to become an American financier, the captains of finance and industry. Pick it up right there as we begin hour number two and find out a little bit more about Jay Gould and his son, George J. Gould.
Thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, November the 9th, 2009, live two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, starting our second hour of today's broadcast. We come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. As we were going into the top of the hour, we just started into a little bit of an understanding and a study of who is Jay Gould. Why do we need to know about it? If you just simply type into your browser, your Google, Scroogle, Dogpile, Webferret, or whatever your preference might be, just type in the two or the three words, J, Gould, G-O-U-L-D, capitalist, you'll come up with some rather interesting studies, about 231,000 references on the internet for J. Gould, capitalist. Very interesting fellow. Family, actually. But let's go ahead and continue here. You might also want to click on the cartoons link when you see that on your Google page. That's where I found it. There's some very interesting political commentary cartoons. Sometimes cartoons in the old days really revealed the most. You might not be able to find the newspaper articles anymore, but if you look very carefully at the cartoons, they'll really give you an insight as to what was public opinion and cross currents of public opinion as they shaped law and legislation at the time of Credit Mobilier and the expansion of railroads in America. But again, this Jay Gould, the father here, American financier, brought up to labor on his father's farm. He learned surveying, and after making surveys again of Ulster, Albany, and Delaware counties, he published a history of the Delaware County in 1856, and in this same year engaged in the lumber and tanning business, so hides and lumber, in western New York, disposing of his interests prior to the panic of 1857. Wouldn't you like to be able to dispose of your interests just prior to a panic? Knowing when to hold them, knowing when to fold them, knowing when to walk away, and knowing when to run, knowing how to buy low and sell high. After engaging in banking for a few months, he became interested in railroads. This was directly after the panic of 1857, so he just kind of hung out there. He put it all in neutral and went into banking to weather the panic, and then came back out and got involved in the railroads. This was, again, directly after the panic of 1857. His first speculation was the purchase of the bonds. He's a bondholder. Now he becomes a creditor of the Rutland and Washington Railroad from Troy, New York to Rutland, Vermont. He himself became president. You notice how this works. You buy bonds, and then you become elected to serve. And what he did, he became elected to serve as president, treasurer, and superintendent of the road. And that's the way they used to call it, of the road, the railroads. Soon afterward, he effected a consolidation of his road with the Rensselaer. The Rensselaer and Saratoga lines. He withdrew his capital, removed to New York, opened a broker's office, and began dealing in Erie Canal, stocks and bonds. This is all Credit Mobilier stuff. This is all Claude Henry Duvrevoy, Saint Simonian stuff. This is the stuff of the Rothschilds, etc. This is the church of what was happening now in the 1850s. Pick it all up right there on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Back in three.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And returning once again, taking a little peek here at this fellow Jay Gould, on our Monday, November the 9th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you Monday through Friday live right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Finding out a little bit about this Jay Gould, American financier. We're going to go to Jay Gould's son, George Jay Gould, in a moment, American capitalist. We were led to this by our study from Morning News, where we find the Berkshire Hathaway, Inc., Warren Buffett, picking up Burlington Northern, the U.S. largest railroad, and himself, the second wealthiest man in America, according to the article. So much is the same in these two articles and studies. But anyway, we go back in. We find that Mr. Gould here, I'm going to pick a good spot. Soon afterward, he himself became president. This was the railroad. Let's just do it here. His first speculation was the purchase of the bonds of the Rutland and Washington Railroad from Troy, New York to Rutland, Vermont. And he himself became president, treasurer, and superintendent of the road. Again, I'm reading from the Encyclopedia Now Americana, published in 1951, which is contemporary with our text, this Principles of Economics, 1953. You see how we work these things together? To study this stuff in law, we could bring in the 1950s editions of the Black's Law Dictionary or Bouvier, and then we could also bring in the Webster's Dictionary and study words and meanings and their senses and legal terms using contemporary materials. This is a good, solid reason why you want to go through these old flea markets, you know, and gather up books. You can pick them up for 10, 15 cents a piece. You don't have to pay $35, $40 for a textbook. You can get them for 15 cents sometimes. Bring it home and study it. But again, he himself became the president, the treasurer, and the superintendent of that railroad. Soon afterward, he effected a consolidation of his road. And with the Rensselaer and Saratoga line, he withdrew his capital again, removed to New York, opened a broker's office, and began dealing in Erie Railway stocks and bonds. His aim was to gain control of the Erie. This he did by depressing the value of the stock and then buying it in, driving down the price until it gets low, just like we see every morning in the gold, all the rest of the stock market. You get in and you buy and sell and buy and sell. It's like this flash trading and all of that. You drive down the stock until it's low, and then you buy a controlling interest, whether that's at a, from the standpoint of a holding company, a minority interest, or whether it is common stocks in majority, etc. In association with James Fisk Jr., and we're going to get to James Fisk Jr. in a moment, he entered the directory of the company, was elected president, while Fisk became vice president and treasurer. On the reorganization of the company in 1872, he lost official connection with it. His manipulation of the Erie stock was the first of many similar speculations by which he obtained control of several great railroad systems. Credit Mobilier is very interesting to study. If you look at the expansion of the railways across the West out to the Pacific Northwest, if you look at the extension of the networks of railroads all over America and understand how many square miles of land were given to the railways to extend a mile of rail and how many dollars per mile they were paid, about $40,000, I think. They get many square miles to go along with it. Then it shouldn't be too hard to go from there and extrapolate wherever these railroads run. The Rothschild interests are right there. You know, Mayor Amschel Rothschild, so much like this Jay Gould, perhaps. He's Mayor Amschel Bauer. Had five sons and five daughters. And they all went into the business, the family concerns. Scattered all around the world, at least all over Europe at the time. Anyway, we'll find the Gould's probably going to do the same. We don't know how many. I'd have to go in and get an actual biography of him to find out just what the extent of his family was and his influence. But on the reorganization of the company in 1872, he lost the official connection with it. His manipulation of the Erie stocks, again, was the first of many similar speculations by which he obtained control of several great railroad systems. His method was to depress the value of the stock of the road he sought to control, then to buy it in while at a low ebb. He then invested in the Pacific Railroads. Burlington Northern, secured control of several lines, built branches, and effected combinations, which resulted in the establishment of what is known as the Gould system. Jay Gould and his partner Fisk, in 1869, entered into a scheme to corner the gold market of New York, and this resulted in the financial crisis and the panic known as Black Friday. Of course, you can study Black Friday as well. The attempt netted them about $11 million. That was when $11 million was really something. He controlled about 10,000 miles of railroad in 1880, and by merging several competing telegraph lines, formed the Western Union system in 1881. Sound familiar? Rothschilds, Reuters, Gould, Western Union. In this year, he also gained control of the New York Elevated Railroad. The New York Elevated Railroad sat underneath that Elevated Railroad. once, watching the tall ships going up the East River with the Liberty Island in the background, Statue of Liberty, on July the 4th of 1976, celebrating, as I did, the bicentennial in New York. Here's his son, George J. Gould. He was born in New York on February the 6th of 1864. He was the eldest son of Jay Gould. So you see, we have more than one son. You have to kind of piece all of this together. But you can find a lot of information in these old encyclopedias. He was the eldest son of Jay Gould and was educated privately. Educated privately. We're going to read a little bit from John Stuart Mill. He was also educated privately by his father, James Mill. John Stuart Mill is remembered for utilitarianism and other things. In financial circles, he was active chiefly in connection with his large railway interests, particularly as president from 1888 of the Little Rock and Fort Smith Railroad. From 1888 to 1913 of the Manhattan Elevated Railroad of New York, and from 1893 to 1911 of the St. Louis, Iron Mountain, and Southern. That would be the St. Louis, Iron Mountain, and Southern. That would be the SIS. The International and Great Northern, Burlington, Great Northern, Burlington, Great Northern, and the Missouri Pacific. He was director of many other railroads as well. We'll be right back.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
the Intel Strike Report.
And I just want to thank you for everything that you guys are doing to help people understand what's going on in this world.
You know what? You guys, thank you for what you do, and keep doing it.
And so often is the case as you go through these encyclopedia articles that they lead you on to other things. Especially when you're looking at these robber barons, it's well worth the time to take note. Because quite frequently at the bottom of the articles, they'll give you other books that you can go and look up. Things that you can find out more about these particular individuals. Certainly gives you the opportunity to get biographies that you would never have known existed, and so on and so forth. And that's the case under James Fisk. Of course, there's one of those things that you do when you go up and you Google, Scroogle, Dogpile, Webferret, or otherwise internet browse a topic. Unlike an encyclopedia or a dictionary, you don't see all the stuff that leads in, around, goes around, and relates to that. Unless you just happen to find clues in the body of the article that you're reading, you're not privy to that information. But in hard copy, in encyclopedias, you can see that. You can look at this long list of Fisks here. Clinton Bowen we'll get to in a moment. Fidelia we'll get to, we won't even mention her. Amos Kidder, Bradley Allen, and the other Fisks and Pliny. No mention here of James Fisk's father, but it's a rather interesting fellow, again, a partner with Jay Gould, Sr. James Fisk, American stock speculator. And he was born in Bennington, Vermont in 1834, died in New York on the 7th of January, 1872. We'll find out about his death and demise shortly. His father was a peddler. See, the other fellow was raised to labor on a farm, Mr. Gould. But James Fisk's father was a peddler. And the son had few chances for educational improvements, you see. So similar backgrounds. They were probably drinking buddies. His father, again, was a peddler, and the son had few chances for educational improvement, but soon displayed considerable mercantile genius. Mercantile genius. He became a member of the Boston mercantile firm of Jordan and Marsh, drove shrewd bargains with the government during the Civil War. Later opened a broker's office in New York and was employed with one Belden by Daniel Drew, which you can also look up, as agents in Drew's struggle with Cornelius Vanderbilt for control of the Erie Railway. The Drew, Fisk, and Gould Eldridge interests in concert succeeded in forcing out Cornelius Vanderbilt. The Vanderbilts. Reminds me of the Titanic. And in placing Gould and Fisk in power, the former as president, the latter vice president and comptroller of the road. The activity of the two in bribery and corruption involved city, state, and federal officials. This is Credit Mobilier. And at its climax brought about the Gold Conspiracy of 1869, and the well-known Black Friday of September the 24th, 1869, when the efforts of the combination to corner the gold markets resulted in a financial panic. Fisk was shot. Sounds like Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, doesn't it? Isn't this interesting? Fisk was shot after a quarrel by E.S. Stokes, a business associate. Fisk, you've done me wrong. Take this, cap and ball. And then it continues, consult James Fisk, Jr., etc. But these are the robber barons. These are the captains of finance and industry that control the world through their appointed dictators, supported in all the things that they do by a cadre of super social scientists. Here's Fisk, Clinton Bowen. No indication of relationship here. Until you dig into the articles. American prohibitionist. He was born in Clapp's Corner, now Griegsville, Livingston County, New York, in December of 1828. You see, these two fellows are only 6 years apart, one born in Vermont, the other born in New York. But again, his father was a peddler. Who knows where they traveled, eh? Early in life, he removed with his parents to Michigan, where he grew up and became a successful merchant and banker. You see the similarity? Probably brothers. We'll find out. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. As a result of the financial panic of 1857, he lost practically all that he possessed. He didn't have the good fortune of Jay Gould to be manipulating the markets and bringing about that collapse, most likely. But again, as a result of the financial panic of 1857, he lost practically all that he possessed. In 1858, he moved to St. Louis, Missouri. Oh, St. Louis. As representative of a large Eastern insurance company. Having been an abolitionist for many years, he was one of the first to volunteer after Fort Sumter had been fired upon. That puts him within an arm's reach of the radical Red Republicans. That puts him within an arm's reach of many of these Marxists that came over to support Abraham Springsteen, also known as Abraham Lincoln. He served for a number of years and rose from a private to a brevet brigadier general of volunteers, holding successfully positions as colonel of the 33rd Missouri Regiment, the Missouri 33rd degree, right? Commander of an infantry division, commander of the District of the Southeast Missouri, and the District of North Missouri. In 1865, he was made assistant commissioner in the Freedmen's Bureau for the states of Kentucky and Tennessee. That would be carpetbagger. Grifter. With headquarters at Nashville, Tennessee, where he founded in 1866 the Fisk School for Freedmen, which in 1867 was chartered as the Fisk University. Fisk University, of course, was a coeducational institution in Nashville, Tennessee, founded in 1866 by the American Missionary Association of New York and the Western Freedmen's Aid Commission of Cincinnati. Of course, we see that Fisk is right into that deep. The university early became well known through the efforts made on its behalf by General Clinton B. Fisk, from whom the institution took its name, and from the Jubilee Singers, composed of its students who toured the United States and Great Britain, raising $150,000 for the institution's needs. The university at present, this would be 1951, comprises normal colleges, preparatory music and industrial departments. The attendance in all departments in 1937 to 1938 was 495. Back to the article. The things you find out just looking in an encyclopedia. On September the 1st of 1866, he was mustered out of the United States military service and returned to St. Louis. Soon afterwards, he accepted an appointment as state commissioner of the Southwest Pacific Railroad. After a few years, he and some of his associates took over the road, which was rechartered as the Missouri Pacific, and of which he was vice president until 1877, removing in 1872 to New York. He became a member of the Indian Commission in 1873, and his interest and influence in public affairs steadily increased. He became especially active in the affairs of the Methodist Church. Here we find Pliny Fisk, American congressional missionary, graduated at Middlebury College, so on and so forth. Could be some religion involved in his background. He became a member of the Indian Commission, and his interest and influence in public affairs steadily increased. He became especially active in the affairs of the Methodist Church. In politics, he was a member of the Republican Party for many years. the circle will be unbroken. We'll be right back.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle. Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we see once again here another Fisk, this Clinton-Bowen Fisk, continuing closing out this brief article. As afterwards, it says, soon afterwards he accepted an appointment as a state commissioner of the Southwest Pacific Railroads. After a few years, he and some of his associates took over the road, which was rechartered as the Missouri Pacific. Became a member of the Indian Commission in 1873, and his interest and influence in public affairs steadily increased. He became especially active in the affairs of the Methodist Church. In politics, he was a member of the Republican Party for many years, but finally left it and joined in 1884 the Prohibition Party, running as its candidate for the governorship of New Jersey in 1886 and for the presidency in 1888, receiving about 250,000 votes at the latter occasion. Interesting, is it not? I find it rather interesting. You see how this stuff all starts to come together? You go back and you look at this, the unions and the union movement, all of this rising up at the same time, the growth, the decade that ended in 1890, producing one of the most significant episodes in the history of labor and the rise of the Knights of Labor, which we discussed. Then you've got these various labor unions coming on. A lot of the argument there was the controversy between crafts and industrials. The article says, and this again back to the textbook, Principles of Economics, our Economics 101 study, basically there are today only two types of labor unions. The craft type is exemplified by the AFL, the industries type by the CIO, and actually both the AFL and the CIO are mixtures of each other, mixtures of craft and industrial unions, and each type has certain advantages and certain limitations. So we're going to look a little bit at the craft and the industrial union, then we'll let it go for now on that. The craft union. A craft union consists of a homogenous, no individuals there in the collective, a homogenous group of workers bound together by a common skill. For example, carpenters belong to one union regardless of who employs them. I myself am a union journeyman carpenter layout. For example, carpenters belong to one union regardless of who employs them. Electricians belong to another, painters to another. When a worker changes jobs, it is not necessary for him to transfer to a different union. He simply gets a transfer card, journeyman transfer card, that he is recognized by the carpenter's union wherever he may go. Fellow travelers, when a strike is called, it does not affect just one employer, because all union carpenters in the city cease work, regardless of who the offending employer may be. It is argued that an offending employer is often whipped back into line by fellow employers who would suffer from his action. Again, this being written in 1953. The AFL, the American Federation of Labor, originally started in 1936 under the leadership of John L. Lewis of the United Mine Workers, by the way. The AFL emphasizes that it would be practically impossible to destroy all of the craft unions that are in existence, even if the principle of industrial unions was conceded. And here's the second variety. The industrial union. Industrial unions attempt to unite into one union all workers within a given plant, regardless of trade or skills. So you would have all of the GM people under one industrial union, perhaps. It's not the way it works, but that's the idea. The employer thus signs only one union contract, which covers all of his employees, whereas under the craft type, an employer signs many different contracts. Consequently, when a strike is called, the industrial union is powerful because all of the employees in the plant walk out. If the craft type is used and the painters call a strike, the other crafts are not affected. Well, there's more to that. Let's go into something else in the remaining minutes of the broadcast for today. Shuffle my books around. I want to give you a little bit more from John Stuart Mill, Utilitarianism on Liberty. He's talking here in this section about thought and discussion. We had a big discussion on Oracle Unleashed on Saturday night. Hope you caught it. But we're going to pick up right here in his Of Thought and Discussion and just let it roll for a few minutes. A state of things in which a large portion of the most active and inquiring intellects find it advisable to keep the general principles and grounds of their convictions within their own breaths, an attempt in what they address to the public to fit as much as they can of their own conclusions to premises which they have internally renounced, cannot send forth the open, fearless characters and logical, consistent intellects who once adorned the thinking world. We go back and look at this H.R. 1913, the Shepherd hate crime, passed on the 28th of October of 09. A state of things in which a large portion of the most active and inquiring intellects find it advisable to keep the general principles and grounds of their convictions within their own breasts. In other words, not free to speak. Not free to speak. Comes down to this idea that we are going against the fearless characters, the open, fearless characters, and the logical, consistent intellects who once adorned the thinking world. Those who avoid this alternative do so by narrowing their thoughts and interests to things which can be spoken of without venturing within the region of principles, that is, to small practical matters which could come right of themselves, if but the minds of mankind were strengthened and enlarged, and which will never be made effectually right until then, while that which would strengthen and enlarge minds men, free and daring speculation on the highest subjects, is abandoned. Thought criminals. You notice that we've had a shift in writing style. We had a shift from the principles of economics, which was written in simple, open, easy English for the college student. A more in-depth inquiry and more complex sentence structures in the encyclopedia published at the same time. And now we're into the mind of John Stuart Mill, who is fully capable of taking one or more pages to write a paragraph and can certainly go on for line after line after line in a sentence. Dropping down a little bit further, the greatest harm done is to those who are not heretics and whose mental development is cramped and their reason cowed by the fear of heresy. The greatest harm is done to those who can compute what the world loses in the multitude of promising intellects combined with timid characters who dare not follow out any bold, vigorous, independent train of thought, lest it should land them in something which would admit of being considered irreligious or immoral. No one can be a great thinker who does not recognize that as a thinker it is his first duty to follow his intellect to whatever conclusion it may lead. It's all about censorship in here, what you can talk about, what you can't. You wouldn't want to be an anti-Semite, would you? You wouldn't want to be a racist, would you? Close your mind. Close your mouth. Never, when controversy avoided, the subjects which are large and important enough to kindle enthusiasm, was the mind of people stirred up from its foundations, and the impulse given which raised even persons of the most ordinary intellect to something of the dignity of thinking beings. I'm just jumping through a lot of stuff here. The impulse given at these three periods has made Europe what it is now. Every single improvement which has taken place either in the human mind or in institutions may be traced distinctly to one of them. Let us now pass to the second division of the argument and dismissing the supposition that any of the received opinions may be false. Let us assume them to be true and to examine the worth of the manner in which they are likely to be held when their truth is not freely and openly canvassed. Starting into a little bit about religion here. Excuse me. Dropping down further. This is not knowing the truth, after a lengthy discussion. Truth thus held is but one superstition the more, accidentally clinging to the words which enunciate a truth. Just because you think something is true, just because someone told you it is true, doesn't make it so. It's just another superstition that you're clinging to. Listen to everyone. Read anything. Believe nothing until you can prove it in your own research. And then it becomes yours to use as you feel fit. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month.
Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so we can simply say that the great solution offered for today is to seek truth in all things and to avoid error wherever possible. And we do that by bringing lots of other thoughts into our minds, the writings of other men, people who have taken the time to write out great ideas in ways that you can study it, wrap your mind around some of these things that are a little bigger than we are. Back to John Stuart Mill, he writes this: when I talk about the idea, and this is my words, not his, when I talk about the idea of the abolition of the established two-party political system, certainly you can go back to the archives and get a full meal deal on that one. Some of this can be found right here in John Stuart Mill. Again, this is of thought and discussion in his treatise on liberty, probably the seminal work under that title. In Politics, John Stuart Mill writes, again, it's almost a commonplace that a party of order or stability, order out of chaos, yeah, that a party of order or stability and a party of progress or reform are both necessary elements of a healthy state of political life. Until the one or the other shall have so enlarged its mental grasp as to be a party equally of order and progress, knowing and distinguishing what is fit to be preserved from what ought to be swept away. After the implementation of Plan B, where we go through the process of abolishing the established two-party political system, first by embedding within both the Republican and the Democratic parties, gaining at least from the standpoint of not less than a holding company interest in them, and then bringing them together in national convention and merging the parties into one Democratic-Republican party. And then once convened in that format, we begin a process called, that I call, Operation Clean Sweep. And so again, we see here, until the one or the other shall have so enlarged its mental grasp, one would hope that we'd be able to, as a people, embed within these parties and so enlarge its mental grasp as to be a party equally of order and progress, knowing and distinguishing what is fit to be preserved from what ought to be swept away. In other words, we'll need to go through all of the presidential decision directives. We'll need to start in the attic and sweep our way all the way down to the very foundation, right back down to the point of departure, the local voting precinct group, and sweep out all of that that is not fit to be preserved. Each of these modes of thinking derives its utility from the deficiencies of the others. Of course, you can't study economics without understanding utility, and it's difficult to study John Stuart Mill without understanding utility, because both of them are founded in the same place. What's useful? What has greatest utility? But it is in a great measure the opposition of the other that keeps each of them within limits of reason and sanity. But of course we know that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party have clandestinely been linked, not an open return to representative government by instruction, but another one of these secret societies. It is in great measure, again, the opposition of the other that keeps each within the limits of reason and sanity. The opposition party Lord Monckton spoke of the other day, last Friday, on Mike Chambers' broadcast. Unless opinions favorable to democracy, of course, John Stuart Mill was an English writer, and Lord Monckton being an English lord, both fond of the use of this word, democracy. Unless opinions favorable to democracy and to aristocracy, to property and equality, to cooperation and to competition, to luxury and to abstinence, to sociality and individuality, to liberty and discipline, and all the other standing antagonisms of practical life are expressed with equal freedom, and enforced and defended with equal talent and energy, there is no chance of both elements obtaining their due. One scale is sure to go up, and the other sure to go down. It takes a certain amount of intellect to run a company as big as the United States of America. Truth, in the great practical concerns of life, is so much a question of the reconciling and combining of opposites that very few have minds sufficiently capacious and impartial to make the adjustment with an approach to correctness, and it has to be made by the rough process of a struggle between combatants fighting under hostile banners. The permanent revolution. Workers of the world, unite. On any of the great open questions just enumerated, if either of the two opinions has a better claim than the other, not merely to be tolerated but to be encouraged and countenanced, it is the one which happens at the particular time and place to be a minority. That is the opinion for which, for the time being, represents the neglected interest, the side of human well-being which is in danger of obtaining less than its share. I am, John Stuart Mill writes, aware that there is not, in this country, any intolerance of difference of opinion on most of these topics. They are adduced to show, by admitted and multiple examples, the universality of the fact that only through diversity of opinions is there in the existing state of human intellect a chance of fair play to all sides of the truth. when you put the jackboot of authority on the freedom of speech, there ends the opportunity for fair play. Some universal things. Briefly, from the Harvard Business Review, an article by J. Sterling Livingston, The Myth of the Well-Educated Manager. It begins this way. It says, there is no direct relationship between performance in school or training programs and records of success in management. John Stuart Mill here, being homeschooled by his father. Jay Gould, likewise. James Fisk, likewise. All captains of finance and industry and intellectual progress. Here's the foreword. This article discusses the inability of formal management education. Whenever we speak of management, it is interchangeable with administration, it is interchangeable with enterpriser, entrepreneur, etc., management, the entrepreneurs. Not at all times. Sometimes you hire a manager, but it is of the same cloth. Again, this article discusses the inability of formal management education programs in both universities and industry to develop explicitly the traits, knowledge, and skills that are essential to career success and leadership in any business organization. In presenting a hard-hitting approach to education and management, this discussion brings us face-to-face with some of the facts of life about learning in the schoolroom versus learning on the job. Although the author draws on the findings of others, many of the points and ideas expressed are the direct result of his own business observation and experience as a manager, entrepreneur, and teacher. Mr. Livingston is the professor of business administration at the Harvard Business School in his role as president of the Sterling Institute and as a former president of Management Systems Corporation. He has actively managed hundreds of MBA graduates. We haven't time for more of the article, but it's this myth of the well-educated manager. The solution set for this particular depression is more industry. We need to create jobs. And in order for us to create more jobs, we need to have more entrepreneurs. We need to have enterprisers, people who are willing to take their idea and bring it forward. That could be you. That could be this morning. We'll have no recovery if we have no jobs. We'll have no jobs if we don't have a strong middle class made up of those bold, rugged individual Americans, entrepreneurs. Not everybody wins. Some people fail. Choices have consequences. You choose. Until tomorrow, have a good afternoon. Thanks for listening, and good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.